God bless you, Calvary and friends, and blessed and happy Resurrection Sunday to each of you. The scripture for this Resurrection Sunday morning is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. And I'll be reading out of the New King James Version. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, "Teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. May God add a blessing to the reading and the hearing, understanding, and application of his holy word, taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. I want to preach as God shall guide on this Resurrection Sunday morning from the subject, "It's not the structure, it's the Savior." It's not the structure, it's the Savior. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen. From the subject, "It's not the structure, it's the Savior." On March 15th, 2020, the last time we gathered at Calvary for worship, I said that the church was going to be on stage. Some of you listening may remember that. I said that many who don't know Jesus as Savior or who don't claim any faith would be observing people like us who do claim Christianity. One of the issues that has been politicized in recent days is worship attendance. It's particularly worship attendance for all of the Abrahamic faiths. There have been news reports, social media posts, arguments, and all of the rest. And unfortunately, there have even been some Christians who, I believe, have failed to see the truth of the sign outside of a church last week, which read, and I quote, "Building closed, comma, the church is always open," unquote. And I'll say that again. The church sign said, and I quote, "Building closed, comma, the church is always open," unquote. My sisters and brothers, the church is not a building. The church is a body. We collectively are the body of Christ. It makes me wonder how many people worship the structure instead of the Savior. Well, on this day of new beginnings, fresh starts, and resurrected life, I don't think that there is a better person for us to look at besides Jesus than Mary Magdalene. I like Paul. I appreciate Timothy. I resonate with how Priscilla and Aquila approached Apollos. And I believe that Barnabas had a compassionate heart. But there is something about Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene was there. I know that the others did a lot, but out of all the people God chose to be the first announcer of the good news, he chose Mary Magdalene. Why did God choose Mary Magdalene? In my response to that question, I'd like to share the plot of 1917. It's a 2019 movie, a recent movie that I had the opportunity to see. And I don't want to spoil it if you haven't seen it. But the long and short of it is that two soldiers are commanded to expeditiously deliver a message that will stop 1,600 soldiers from being ambushed by the German army. These are soldiers from Great Britain, and they're trying to save 1,600 British soldiers. And through every danger known to a soldier, these two are under high orders to take the mission. I can't tell you what happens, but I will tell you that while two went, one of the soldiers had a particular desire to accomplish the mission successfully. Mary Magdalene was a soldier. She was not a man, but she was a soldier. She was not one of the 12, but she was a soldier. Why was she a soldier? I think it was because God knew that she loved the Savior more than the structures of Jewish or Roman society. And that is interesting because the place she was born, indeed the very name she is remembered by, is Magdalene, which comes from Magdala, a town on the coast of Galilee, which means tower or castle. Indeed, being a coast town, we can imagine ships coming in and out and the towers or castles providing direction. How awesome and how ironic it is that God chose a woman with a name signifying strong tower or castle to spread news about the strong tower, Jesus Christ. And yet, her love was not for the structure, but for the Savior. I don't know about you, but our God is just an awesome God. But it was also her past. Scholarship has delivered no certainty of her parentage or marital status. She is mentioned in Matthew 27:56, Matthew 27:61, Matthew 28:1, Mark 15:40, Mark 15:47, Mark 16:1-19, Luke 8:2, Luke 24:10, John 19:25, and our text for this Resurrection Sunday morning. And in these scriptures, she is identified as having been afflicted with seven devils. Seven means completion. This symbolizes that she was completely demon-possessed. In the eyes of man, she was done for. She was kaput. Her life was over. She was so bad off that no man would have likely wanted her for any honorable purpose. But the man from Galilee did. He saw something in her that the world didn't see. Then thirdly and finally, I think it was her persuadedness. Because after Jesus delivered her, he somehow must have known that he could trust her to deliver the message that is the trademark of our faith. He got up. He isn't here. He is risen. You want to know why Mary realized that the Savior was more important than any structure? Because she had been down to the bottom of the barrel. And when you've been down there and God brings you up, nobody can persuade you that God didn't make a way out of no way for you. Is there somebody here listening today on this Easter Sunday morning? Like Mary Magdalene, you have a past that you're not proud of. You've done some things that if you had another chance, you wouldn't do them the same way. If you can say yes, you just might be one who can worship even when the church building isn't open. I tell you, it's a sad believer who has to come into a building to worship. I thank God for 2959, but I realize it is not about the structure, it's all about the Savior. Happy Resurrection Day, Calvary. Happy Easter. I'm closing with the words from the song Precious Jesus by Thomas Whitfield. Are you persuaded that the Savior is more important than any structure? I hope you are, because although one day all of the church buildings will no longer be, the Savior will forever be. The words of the song, Precious Jesus, how I love you, how I lift my voice with your praise. Holy Spirit, I implore thee, drench my heart as my lips part your grace. I am persuaded, Lord, to love you. I have been changed to bless your name. I am constrained by this great gospel forever to worship thee. My sisters and brothers, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you know Jesus Christ? Pray with me. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you died on the cross to save me from my sin. And right now, I receive you into my heart. My brother, my sister, young child, if you prayed that prayer in sincerity, wherever you are saved. If you prayed that prayer, you are saved right now. You are part of God's family. And perhaps there's somebody out there listening on your smartphone, on your tablet, on your computer, and you've been going around, bouncing around from church to church. Come check us out at Calvary Baptist Church, 2959 North Tetonia Avenue. One day, all of this is going to be over. We're going to be back worshiping in the church building. We want you to come join us. It is truly my prayer that you would enjoy this resurrection day, this resurrection season with your family. God bless you. Be safe and be blessed.